You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 16th of December 2025, a day where the Australian share market fell. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.4% to 8,598. Sectors ended mixed. About 9 of the 11 sectors were lower. IT, the worst performing sector, followed by energy and telcos. Healthcare also down, along with materials. Industrials, though, and consumer staples rose. Some of the best performing stocks today included Drone Shield, up by about 23% on a contract win, IDP Education and Challenger Limited doing well. The worst performers include Deep Yellow, Hyperion X and Life360, a tech stock. For more on the day's market action, including some changing views from banks on the direction of interest rates, I spoke with Jonathan Sheed, Head of Investments at State Street Investment Management. The market was flat. It's now fallen deeper into the red. It comes ahead of more US economic data, which should give us a greater indication on how many more US interest rates may be cut. What's your take?
It's a bit messy, the data in the US at the moment. I mean, we think probably 3 cuts next year. We're actually reasonably bullish on the US economy next year. We've got growth picking up from maybe 2% to 2.4%. Possibly even 2.5% in the US next year. We've got CapEx from AI and the One Big Beautiful Bill. We've got perhaps a reduction in trade disruptions, moderating inflation. So we're reasonably comfortable with how the US looks next year, and some of those lower rates in the US will certainly help.
So run us through how all of that is likely to be flowing through to markets, because headline, if you've got lower rates in the US, isn't that necessarily good news for US stocks? It's that interest rate differential between Australia and the US, which we'll talk about more in a moment, will mean changes for currency moves as well, right?
Yeah, it will. And we've seen a little bit of US dollar weakness this year so far already. And we think US dollar weakness is probably a medium to long-term trend that could continue. But that aside, short-term, we've not seen a lot of direction in the US market lately. It's had a pretty good run the last 2 or 3 years, up 15-16% this year, which is a very solid return. So US equities, we like them for next year. Be a little while for some of those delayed economic things that we saw this year to feed through, that will then flow through into markets. And on the currency front, you know, the Aussie's been at 65, 66 of late, but it's up from low 60s earlier on in the year. And we think an appreciating Aussie is definitely on the cards over the course of this year. And then the other thing is, of course, gold. I think as we've had a lot of uncertainty globally, gold's gone back up again, up towards $4,200, $4,300 US an ounce. And US 10 years have continued to trade in that 4 to 4.2% range, although Aussie 10 years have certainly started to climb over the last month or so.
So speaking of those yields, I guess, climbing, can we talk about the direction of Australian interest rates and where you see the Australian economy? We know today that Westpac and the Melbourne Institute put out its Consumer Sentiment Index. It basically showed a reversal in consumer confidence. And then today we also heard from economists at CommBank, now predicting an interest rate rise at the next RBA meeting in February. NAB also agreeing, changing its forecast today, a rate rise in February plus another in May. Run us through what you think and what the market is saying about the direction for Australian interest rates and how fast they may rise now.
Sure. Well, the market clearly thinks we're more likely to have rate increases than even a hold over the course of next year, if you look at pricing and markets. I think consumers have heard that message loud and clear. It probably even predates the recent press conference. I think consumers have looked at the risk of increases in mortgage rates, and that's one of the reasons we saw consumer confidence fall back down again, with the sinking feeling that we may have another increase in rates coming through in 2026. I think for Australian rates, we're probably a little more dovish. We'd like to see a hold. We certainly appreciate some of the pressures that have come through on inflation. I think the back half of 2026, we have some concerns about a soft labor market. If you look at the growth in full-time employment, it's slowed right down and it's heavily focused on public administration and healthcare. We've got pressure on budgets, both federal and state. So I think we're looking at a long-term hold over 2026 with a possible easing in the back half of 2026, although that would be a surprise and it's certainly not our base case.
Okay. So with all of that in mind, as we head into the new year, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, surprisingly enough, given how far equities have run, we still like equities, particularly in the US. I mean, that's an incredibly agile, resilient, well-diversified economy. Perhaps not so much the famous Mag 7 type mega-cap names, but certainly looking at some of the smaller-cap names in the US, things like utilities for electricity or for their defensive nature. Some industrials, you think about electrical manufacturing equipment, aerospace defense, and so on, or communication services, an area that we think will be one of the earliest sectors to benefit from a kind of an AI revolution. So we do quite like the US. We quite like emerging markets, typically weaker US dollar and loosening liquidity combined with global growth is usually a pretty good story for emerging markets. For more conservative investors, we do like fixed income. We think probably government rather than credit at this point in the cycle, given the broad trend is downwards in interest rates. Duration is not a bad place to be. So government guaranteed fixed income at that sort of 5 to 10 year level, we think is reasonably attractive. And then finally, given the amount of uncertainty, both geopolitical and market at the moment, we do like diversifying assets like gold, but also commodities and private assets, although do that very carefully given liquidity and valuation issues.
Jonathan Sheed there from State Street Investment Management, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget, if you like it, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.